Welcome to the ballpark. Boy, the crowd sure is restless. Can you hear that crowd? They're ready for another episode of the Baseball Historian.
Play ball!
This is the Radio Memories Sports Network, where the old heroes are live once more.
Welcome to the Baseball Historian, where the past comes alive through podcasting of baseball's greatest moments.
In this week's Baseball Historian, we're going back to 1948, Game 5 of the World Series between the Boston Braves and the Cleveland Indians. I'm going to play the game in its entirety. This will give you a good historical context of the game. I hope you enjoy. Tell your friends and neighbors that spring training is coming soon. And don't forget, come every week to the Baseball Historian, where we go back and relive the greatest moments in baseball history. I'll see you at the park. Step back in time with me as we go to Game 5, 1948. Boston Braves, Cleveland Indians.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, Gillette presents the World Series. Good afternoon, baseball fans everywhere. This is Mel Allen with Jim Britt, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company as the Boston Braves and Cleveland Indians warm up for the fifth game in this great championship series. Gillette is on the air the year-round with on-the-spot broadcasts of leading sports events. And Gillette also airs the major boxing match of the week every Friday night. In this 1948 World Series, ladies and gentlemen, tribal warfare, it appears in this tribal warfare that the Clevelands have the Indian sign on their embattled brethren, the Braves, and with it, most experts figure a bright chance of smoking the peace pipe long about 2 hours or so from now, because that's all there'll be left to do if the Clevelands continue to keep the Bostons penned up on the reservation, so to speak. However, the Boston's chief medicine man hopes that he's come up with a proper potion today that will send the Clevelands fleeing back to the banks of the Charles River, where the Braves figure to be more powerful in their own wigwam. Although Cleveland leads in the series 3-1 and needs but today's victory to capture the classic, their superiority is not so great when seen from the standpoint of cold figures, which are surprisingly even. For example, the two teams have the identical number of base hits in the series. 22 for Boston, 22 for Cleveland. In the matter of two base hits, the Boston Braves have 4, the Cleveland Indians have 4. Neither team has any triples. And in the matter of home runs, the Braves have 1, hit by Marv Rickert. And the Indians have 1, hit by Larry Doby. Now, in the matter of runs batted in, the Indians hold an edge 7-3. Braves have driven in 3 runs, the Indians 7. The Indians have scored altogether 8 runs, and the Braves 3, which is quite a figure in itself. In the 4 games played to date, there have been a combined total of only 11 runs scored by the two teams. And the 44 base hits for a 4-game series is a new record, 10 under the previous record low for 4 games, which was 54 base hits, which incidentally the New York Yankees and Cincinnati Reds set in the 1939 World Series over the first 4 games. The band and the color guard are approaching home plate, coming in from left field. And I suggest that we pick up the music as the fans here in Huge Municipal Stadium, and we probably will have another tremendous crowd, are rising to take off their hats and greet the colors as they come marching behind home plate. So let's listen to the music just for a moment. Thank you. music is being supplied, incidentally, by the National American Legion Championship Band, which hails from Girard, Ohio. Getting back to our figures, the Boston Braves have received 7 walks, and the Cleveland Indians have received 7 bases on balls. There again, the figures are identical. In the matter of strikeouts, the Boston Braves have struck out 13 times, and the Cleveland Indians have struck out 13 times. It seems to be uncanny the way the figures are even in almost every department, except in the won and lost column, and the Indians have won 3 games to the Boston Braves 1. All low score games, all games that could have gone either way, one base hit could have changed the complexion of the entire World Series up to this point. And though, compared to other World Series, you haven't had the explosive incidents repeatedly, or the tremendous excitement that often occurs in World Series play, this has been a series, of course, in which pitching has been the predominant factor. Cleveland, despite the fact that they do not have any edge, numerically speaking, other than in the won and lost column, which is the most important one, nevertheless has appeared to be a very highly confident team, ready to rise to most any serious occasion, otherwise seemingly content to grab a small lead and sort of hold on to it and watch the Braves and, shall we say, their frustration. Now you've got out on the field of play a clown running around, and somehow he let a duck slip out of his blouse, and the duck is out at the mound. I can assure you of one thing, the duck will not do the pitching today. However, the duck is still out at the mound, and standing there, not moving off. The clown has disappeared, and the duck is just standing out there watching this huge crowd of people. And incidentally, yesterday's crowd of over 81,000 set a new World Series record. Also set a new record for attendance at a single game, although it was not quite as large as the over 82,000 crowd that saw a doubleheader here in Cleveland during the course of the regular season that broke a doubleheader crowd record set by the New York Yankees some years ago with the Red Sox. Now there is a Cleveland attendant chasing the duck out around about second base. He can't get him. He's chasing him out around shortstop. He grabs him around the head, and the duck moves away. And now he finally grabs him. Bet he'll taste good on that table tonight. But to get back to today's game, the pitchers have been the stars of this series, of course, and today the burden of upholding that prestige falls to the lot of Bobby Feller for the Cleveland Indians and Nelson Potter of the Boston Braves. Robert William Andrew Feller, 29-year-old right-hander, born November the 3rd, 1918, at Van Meter, Iowa, will be doing the pitching, and he is looking for his first World Series victory. He was defeated by Johnny Sane, the opening game of the World Series, 1-0. And Bobby Feller has been referred to as the modern Walter Johnson. And Walter Johnson found himself going to the final game of a World Series before he could gain his first World Series victory, and that was against the Giants in 1924. Nelson Potter, who pitched a couple of innings of fine relief ball against the Cleveland's the other day, pitched a couple of innings and didn't allow an earned run, is the surprise starter, as Billy Southworth hopes that the screwball, which the right-hander throws so effectively with his other assortment, will baffle the Indians sufficiently to give the Braves victory. Nelson Potter's no newcomer to a World Series. He pitched for the St. Louis Browns in 1944 against the St. Louis Cardinals, and his earned run average was less than one, although he lost the last game of that World Series in 1944 to the Cardinals by a 3-1 score when Billy Southworth, now the Braves manager, was managing the St. Louis Cardinals. Now the lineups for the Boston Braves. Leading off, playing right field, Tommy Holmes. Hitting second, playing shortstop, Al Dark. Hitting third, playing first base, Earl Torgerson. Batting fourth, playing third base, Bob Elliott. Hitting fifth, playing left field, Marv Rickard. Hitting sixth, catching, Bill Salkeld. Batting seventh, playing center, Mike McCormick. Hitting eighth, playing second base, Eddie Stanky. In the ninth spot in the batting order and pitching, Nelson Potter. And for the Cleveland Indians, leading off is Dale Mitchell. Left field, Larry Doby hitting second, center field. Lou Boudreau batting third, playing shortstop. Joe Gordon hitting fourth, playing second base. Kenny Keltner hitting fifth, third base. Walter Judnick hitting sixth, playing right field. Eddie Robinson, hitting seventh, playing first base. Jimmy Hegan, hitting eighth and catching. Hitting ninth, and in the pitching spot, of course, is Bobby Feller. There are your lineups. The band is massed out in center field. The color guard. That was the boo greeted the announcement of the umpires, one of them. But the color guard is massed out in center field, and in a moment or so, we shall have the playing of the national anthem. Your umpires today will be George Barr, back of the plate.